Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. This is Anzu Sigurman, and we're live because we're going to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. This happens to be the 80th presentation, humble presentation of Soul Class. Tonight's feature presentation will be on the Ben Ish Chai, Son of a Living Man, trying to make more accessible these Hebrew teachings of Yosef Chaim, Baghdad, the Chacham of Baghdad, who lived around from 1834-35 to 1909. He went to the next level of life. Before we get to the meat of the show, blessed souls, I'd like to remind everyone that Soul Class, Soul, is an acronym for S7O, which is original, oldest, U, universal, L, laws, which is alluding to the seven universal axiomatic Torah commandments, one of the seven Noahic commandments, which anyone who is a possessor of the divine image is privy and empowered within their own human life experience by their divine image, which you can learn more about. Chapter 1, verse 26, chapter 1, verse 27 in Genesis, and later on in chapter 9, verse 6 in Genesis, Sefer Bereshit. And the seven Noahic commandments explained in a very terse manner. Number one, not to blaspheme the name of the Creator with his ineffable name, the Yud, and then the Hey, and the Vav, and the Hey. Number two, not to commit acts of idolatry. Number three, not to commit acts of premeditated murder. Number four, not to commit acts of adultery. Number five, not to commit acts of stealing. Number six, not to eat the limb of an animal while it's still alive. Number seven, last but not least, to help it, and includes the feasting on the innumerable ways one can connect to the Most High through an orderly pattern by the vessels of tikkun, vessels of rectification, to raise righteous statutes in the land according to the Creator's plan for each and every nation, each generation of soulful revelation, to back up the six axiomatic universal commandments that I just mentioned, and also to encourage the education of the masses, to encourage acts of kindness, prayer, and fellowship throughout the creation. So they're lacking that fellowship right now in the Talmud. There's so much conflict in the world. So blessed souls, I'm only going to the teaching by the Ben Ish Chai, which is basically what he was plucking out of the Ben Ish Chai's classic work, Halachos in Maftechot, which is basically his codification of Jewish Israelite law, which is in the oral Torah with scriptural backing, with the keys, which are found at the back of the book, which can help a person identify those who understand the Hebrew better, how to identify what part of the book to find out how the Ben Ish Chai connects certain laws, Jewish Israelite tradition, to the Torah portion. But we're not going to talk about that, because we're going to go, we're going to be plucking out of a teaching from the Torah portion this week, which is Kokosai, which means in my statutes. And the Ben Ish Chai in this week's Torah portion, and I'm basically trying to make it more digestible for you, so those of you who still are not that aware of how to connect to your divine soul, to your divine essence, to the divine image within yourself, to the Lashon HaKodesh. Some people call it Hebrew. Your original name is Lashon HaKodesh, literally the Holy Tongue. So the Ben Ish Chai taught the following. Based, and recapitulating, a particular teaching in all Torah tradition, which is plucked out of something which is in Perkei Avot, the ethics of our fathers, the fathers being the sages of Israel, going back about 2400 years ago, to the Common Era. It's based on the fifth chapter, the 21st Mishnah. Again, I'm recapitulating here. One sage by the name of Ben Bag Bag taught us to realize everything is in Torah. Everything is to be found within divine instruction. That our lives should grow in Torah until we age, decade after decade. That there is nothing better in it to nourish the soul and body, but to nourish it with divine instruction. There are instructions of Torah which empower us to transform divine sparks, and there's nothing in this creation, blessed Lord, which is devoid of divine sparks, which have been, with the consent of the Most High, been embedded within the coarse materiality of this physical plane of existence, which we call life on earth, or life in the universe, or the universal life. So these sparks of divinity, the Ben Ish Chai would want us to understand, are known as Elokut. And Elokut, or sparks of divinity, or godliness, are embedded within the earth, within vegetable matter, within animal matter, which includes, of course, sea creatures, and last but not least, human beings, humans matter, who have the freedom of choice. Each one of us has the freedom of choice, blessed souls, to decide for ourselves and their future, and their offspring's future, if it is worthwhile to immerse their minds in learning about the concept, the muskab, of Netzutzot Eloki, otherwise known as divine sparks, which are embedded in every molecule of creation. For instance, a human being eats human food. Now, what qualifies to be human food can be liquid, vegetable, fish, or animal. So, initially, the Netzutzot Eloki is formally embedded in that food, and now when consumed by the human matter, the human body, the human being, the spark that was formerly residing in the food has now been transferred into the human being's body. I guess the worldly view is the energy invested in that human food is now energy to empower that human body in which that food had become enclosed in. And with that newly found energy embedded in human matter, the human being, one can now have the strength to utter words of prayer to the one true creator. One has now the strength to engage mightily in simple acts of kindness. And one can gain the strength and learn, last but not least, divine instruction, which we of Israel call Torah, which the secular world calls the Bible. So you see, blessed souls, there is the initial empowerment of Elokut, of godliness, divinity, Netzutzot Eloki, divine sparks, with creation. Within creation, embedded in lower forms of matter, which can be inanimate, vegetable, animal, and human. So when human beings consume food, we are empowered by the food that we consume to energize our efforts towards serving the Creator of all creation. The transfer of inanimate vegetable and animal energies, i.e. the sparks of holiness, Netzutzot Eloki, Elokut, to the human being matter, is one level of purification. As the Ben Ish Chai writes, basically the godly spark, the Netzutzot, goes from what is known as Geshem Akur, like a dark type of matter, physicality, implying something unrefined, to the highest level of refinement, which can only take place when the human being ingests of this food, because the human being is of the highest plane of the creation, aside from the angelic realm and, of course, the Most High realm. Because after all, blessed souls, if we look in the Torah, whereas the secular world would call it the Bible, we would see that only one created being is given the distinct honor of being bequeathed with the divine image, Tzelem Elokim, and being told we were made in his image, or the creator's image, and that's the human being. The idea of a divine image is not connected to an animal, a vegetable, or inanimate matter. And that's something for us to take to heart, internalize, and think perhaps in our own spare time moments, what is the implication of recognizing that only we human beings are embedded with the grace and eternal blessing of a Tzelem Elokim, a divine image. So then, the transfer of inanimate vegetable and animal energies, again, sparks of holiness, to the human being, matter, is one level of purification. Now the human being then takes that energy invested in him or her and offers up by investing their precious time to prayer to the Most High, source of all creation, acts of kindness, which also known as Gemilo Chasadim, and learning Torah, divine instruction, Limud Torah. And just as there are four general levels of kingdoms, blessed souls, the Ben Yishchai wants us to understand that there are four general levels. And may I risk saying, I say in my own name, not the Ben Yishchai, there are four general kingdoms of Torah. The most external, superficially, is sublimely eternal level, or kingdom, of the Torah, is Pshat, meaning the simple understanding of it. Then above that is Remez, what the Torah hints to in certain, and in fact many verses, but we as human beings with our regular seichel, noshi, regular human thought, are unable to unlock those secrets unless we are privy to the instruction which is provided via Torah Shabbat Peh insights, the oral Torah, which is also divine instruction and brought down through the ages by various Israelite sages who were possessors of Rosna's Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, and are able to work within the context of how to derive out innovative teachings that didn't exist before, but that existed before, but previous generations weren't meritorious to reveal them. Now, above the realm of Remez, is Drush. Drush, they were known as the homiletic teachings. Teachings which we are invited to look into the edifying and the ethical teachings which are embedded within the Torah. But even above the level of Drush, homiletic teachings, is the level of Sod. In the level of the kingdom of Sod, of Torah, are the secrets of Torah, which we can suggest, not that the Ben Yishchai did, but I am, on my own simple Torah activist, friendly neighborhood, cyberspace DJ, can suggest the secrets of Torah are related to the ideas of physics, or the source of what would eventually manifest in the modern human consciousness as physics. Study of what, for instance, what happens when the energy of creation interacts with the matter of creation and has no contradiction between the fact that the energy of creation and the matter of creation all came from one source, the creator of all creation, who looks for us to connect all the dots together. Now, here's one example of the Sod of the Torah, the inner dimension of the secrets of the Torah, the mystic part of the Torah, the physics part of the Torah, blessed souls. One of the ways that a person, the Ben Yishchai mentions, that a person can elevate the human experience of eating food and lifting up food to the greatest degree possible is while one is dining, one's table, a restaurant, or a public gathering, and food is being consumed by human beings, there is a way to elevate it through a particular teaching which is actually brought down in a very holy book known as the Tikkuni Zohar, which is part of the general collection of the Zohar, books which were teachings which come from the mighty Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. With the day of his ascension to the next level of life, all of we of Israel around the world will be celebrating this coming day after the Blessed Shabbat, known as Lag BaOmer. It will be the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer. And the Ben Ish Chai wants us to know that one can elevate those divine sparks we've been talking about. In fact, engaging in the teachings, which I'd like to share with you now. Now, it's not a very long teaching, but with 14 minutes to go, I don't really feel compelled to rush through it and read too quickly, but rather I would like to read to you it slowly, thus it says, and so to speak, sweeten it up with elucidations by the Lubavitcher Rebbe from a teaching from the Rebbe from 1955 or 1956. In the Hebrew calendar, it was Tavshin Tetzvah, which would make it 5715, which would make it 56 years ago, this teaching by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Ben Ish Chai, again, brings out that you just simply saying this Torah, and then we can fuse it together with the words of Chassidut by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, certainly gives some ideas to think about as we're pouring each other the other glass of water, or chewing on a celery stick, or eating a tuna fish sandwich, or eating a hamburger, for those who like to eat the hamburgers, chicken soup, or simply munching on a snack. So here we go, blessed souls. One of the ways to elevate the act of eating food, as we human beings should be trying to do, when in fact we eat. So the teaching goes like this. And again, this is a teaching from the Tikkuni Zohar, which is in the Prefatory Teaching 17, the first side. 17a, as we would say. So Elijah, Elijah the prophet, opened this course and said, Ribon Almin, Master of the worlds, not just the one world, but all worlds. This is talking about the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, infinite one, made the blessing. We want to see and be privy to manifestations of infinitude within the creation, infinite good that we as limited human beings can digest. And Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, acknowledged at this level of the Ein Sof world, infinite one may be blessed. He gave him an attribute which is solely unto the Creator with the following title. That you are one, but not a one in a numerical sense. And this is brought down in many fundamental teachings in the oral Torah. Israel, blessed souls, will talk about a monotheistic type of theology or belief or faith, Torah teaching. We're talking about a level of creator who is one in terms of he is uniquely one, as the oneness of all creation, and not a one that is, say, in relation to zero, where one is one more than zero, or one is one less than two, but a one that is not even calculable. But in the teachings of Chassidus that the Lubavitcher Rebbe elucidates blessed souls, that this is actually a realm which existed after the process of the emanation, a more sublime world, a realm called Atik Yomin, which literally means Ancient of Days. Actually, there's a prophecy in the book of Daniel that talks about Ancient of Days. And this is a level of Elokut, godliness, divinity, where we acknowledge that the Most High, Creator of all creation, is in fact the source of all delight. We mean spiritual delight, the delight of delighting in the true meaning of what it means to be a human being and to serve the Most High with one dedicated purpose. And then Elijah the prophet in the Tikkuni Zohar goes on to say that this essence of the infinite creator who is the source of all delight in spiritual health is also to be described as unto Elohim Akol Elohim. So what that is, Elohim Akol Elohim, excuse me, which means that the Most High is the source of all desire towards Elokut. Therefore, if we are graced with this bounty of Arach Antin, we are surrounded by and consumed and uplifted to want to have a strong desire to serve the Creator of all creation. Now, with that being said, another level that Elijah the prophet used to describe the Most High is that the Most High is called Fatima Ako Astina, that he is hidden from all the hidden ones. And who are the hidden ones? These are the exalted levels of the angelic realms. Angels of this physical world, which we don't see, the angels of the world of speech, the angels of the world of thought, the angels of the world of intellect. And that which is considered in a pre-potential state of angelic beings up until we get to the point of even the upper realms of Arach Antin, which said this is the source, but this is an attribute unto the Most High, where he is the source of all desire for Elokut, to give us that desire, and also Atik Yamin, these are hidden ones, but yet the Most High is still hidden from these most sublime levels, whether it be the level of Ne'at Salim, these things which have been emanated out of the Most High and not yet congealed into what we call the levels of worlds or Olamot. And as well, Elijah goes on to say, Let Makshava Tavi Tafisa Baklav. Oh, it looks like we have a caller coming in. I think this might be co-host Mordechai and Moses from Oregon, California. Mordechai, is that you?
Yes, I am. I've been in a family visit, so I couldn't make it in time. Hey, good evening, everyone. Good morning, good evening, Don.
We have about, Mordechai, we have about 7 minutes to go. And it's hard for me, it would be almost impossible, actually impossible for me to play back to you in a very superficial, terse manner the first 24 minutes of the show. But basically we're going into a teaching of the Zohar where Elijah the prophet is calling upon mankind to realize the Most High is one, but not in a numerical sense. He has an attribute which is the source of all delight in godliness, the source of all desire for godliness. He is hidden from even the highest levels of divinity, and there is no thought that can grasp him. And the reason why we're talking about this, Mordechai, is the Ben Ishchai, who is the wise man from Baghdad, who lived from 1834, 1835 to 1909, so he went to the next level of life. He taught that we actually should be talking about these things when we eat our human food. And human food has to go through various levels of purification. We have inanimate matter, food with, you know, say like salt, and we also have, we have plant vegetable matter, we have the animal matter, but the highest level of matter is human matter, which can consume any one of those three lower levels of creative matter and basically transform the energy, the godliness, that's in the inanimate, the vegetable, animal, and the vegetable and the animal matter into that human matter. But then that's only the first level of purification. The second level of purification is actually the human being now given the power of the energy in the inanimate matter, say in the minerals that's in the food, the vegetables, or the animal or fish creature food. They can actually use it to pray to the Most High. They can use it to do acts of kindness for other human beings and learn Torah, which is, of course, instruction. divine instruction, or the secular world would call it the Bible. So, with that being said, we have to consider what I just mentioned to you before in the beginning of the teachings of Elijah the prophet. Mordechai, what's your take on this whole idea as we get down to the last 4 minutes of the show, that there's no thought that can grasp him, yet we're being asked to understand that there are many ways to describe him, yet there's no one combination of letters that can grasp him. What do you think? Some people might struggle with the idea that there's no thought that can grasp him, or this is something that people can readily understand?
Most people would struggle, definitely, because most people are tend to stick to a mechanical order, a logical order, because that's what really makes perfect sense for most people. That's why it is so easy to worship a cross or worship an idol, because basically most religions are idol worshiping religions. What really happens is the human mind cannot imagine infinity as it is, cannot imagine that the creator that has created everything, and he includes everything, and he is the basis, foundation of all things. Most people cannot grasp this thought that not even what I've just said describes the creator. That once somebody steps on the seeking or search or wanting to understand what the creator is, and so is a lifelong, if not many, many lives long journey, because we can only discover more and more and more and more and never really find the words, because more words you find, the more words are coming up later on. So, yes, it is a beautiful, I wouldn't say struggle, because I don't like the word struggle anymore, since it has an anti-Semitic and jihadist background to it, but we can sanctify the word if you're talking about the Creator himself, and we don't put a human struggle behind the word. So anyways, within this 4 minutes, I could go on and on and on, because the topic you just brought up is an infinite topic.
Right. Another reason why Mordechai, we should understand there's no thought that can grasp him, is that thought and speech and action are merely garments that our soul, which is certainly not the creator, but just a little spark of him, not all of our soul can go into our garments of thought, speech, and action. So how much more so our human garments of thought cannot grasp the totality of the creator, because he's really not a thought, but he is the source of thought. Meaning, he created thought. He created speech. He created action. So therefore, we have to deal with that, but yet, since there are so many numerous teachings all over the Torah, then we're dealing with, you know, how to deal with the physical realm and the spiritual realm, the realm of the living, the realm of those who have passed on, the realm of reincarnation, the realm of the resurrection of the dead, the realm of the coming of the Mashiach. You know, the whole idea is just taken in piece by piece, just as we take our food in, bit by bit. Bite by bite. So I see him, Mordechai, that we're going to have to go a little bit further into this to try to encourage people in future shows to reevaluate the process of human eating, and hopefully to incorporate the process or the awareness of learning words of Torah. It doesn't necessarily have to be so sublime as even reading something from the Zohar as this, but we want to keep on going into this because we are, you and myself and others like ourselves, as the nation of Israel, we are looking to think of thoughts that were never thought that now must be revealed, to reveal the Torah of Mashiach, which is in the realm of thought, which binds us all together into that one universal thought that the Most High originally had before all of creation, that he wished to make the world a dwelling place for the revelation of his essence. So we got about 15 seconds to go. Mordechai, I'd like to thank you for your brief interaction. And,
thank you so much for having me on the show.
And we'll let everyone have a great night. To be continued with the blessings of the Most High. Take care, everyone.